Have you ever been to a city and before GPS, and it's a strange city and you don't know where you're going and you get lost? Is that what did we do before GPS? I mean, Nancy and I went to Acapulco several years ago, and we were there for a week, and you know, that's where Elvis dove off of the cliff. Y'all remember that? What's the name of that movie? Acapulco? How many of you have a TV or watch movies? And so we wanted to go there because they still have people that would dive off of those cliffs. I mean, even some age 7 and 8, and they're way up there. So we rented a car, and we asked the guy there, that only one we could find speaking English, how do we get there? And he said, go down here. And so I thought, a man, this is a man thing. Oh, that's easy. No problem. We got so lost. And the more we drove, the deeper we got into unsafe territory. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it was bad. And I finally had to pull over to this gas station, and men out front, they looked mean. And so I went up there. I'm not fluent. You know, I know taco or chihuahua, but I'm not fluent in those things. And so I go up there and I go, did y'all get that? Elvis diving. They're looking. And one guy says, Elvis? Elvis? Yes. He said, well, and I said, directions. And so, because I'm fluent in Spanish. So he told us, make a long story short, got lost again. Finally made it to the cliffs where those young boys and men dove off. And we wasted time, frustrated. We almost started to go back to the hotel if we knew where it was. Honestly, it was, you know how long ago it was, because there was no GPS or nothing in the cars during that time. But you know, it's the same way in your spiritual life if you don't know the way. Because you can struggle with that. You get frustrated with that. You begin to waste time with that. And you just stumble. You guess at. I was guessing at which way to go, what to do. Well, aren't you glad that God doesn't leave us to guess at what to do? And what we're going to see today is He's going to show us how we can have wisdom so we know where to go, why we go there, and how to go there. Now, notice beginning in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person, that man, shall not think he will receive anything of the Lord. Why? He's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Now, we know that we need wisdom for everyday living, right? But when you study Scripture, you have to study it in context. And the context here is what? What were the first four verses? Trials. How you deal with trials. Trials are going to come. They're various in many shapes and sizes. We don't know when they're going to come, but when they come, they're coming. They're coming. And so now, in context of this verse, he's saying, you're going to need wisdom in how to deal with your trials. Any of you agree with that? You're facing some trials, some challenges in your life. How are you going to deal with them? You will not deal with them in a proper way as a follower of Christ unless you have wisdom. So in the midst of our trials, it can be confusing. Have you ever said, what's happening? What's going on? Why is this taking place? Well, wisdom's going to help you to deal with that. So let's dive into this passage. Notice he says, first of all, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask of God. Circle the word if. And by the way, there are pens in all of your holders there. So I suggest to you, while you have an outline there, and to make notes, it'll help you when you study it and get home. Circle the word if. If any of you lacks wisdom. A.T. Robertson, a Greek scholar of the 1900, says this: if is a first class condition. The word if in the Greek language is first class condition. And this is not a Greek lesson, but when you're studying Greek, there are three classifications of ifs. If and it's true, if and it's not true, if and it may be true or may not be true. Here's first class, right? If and it's true. It can be translated since. Since you lack wisdom. Any going to argue with that one? I got all the wisdom I need. Since we lack wisdom. We all do. We're not as wise as we should be. This describes us. But it's encouraging to us. So since we lack, circle the word lack. That's a banking word. And it means deficit or shortfall. Have any of you heard about what our national debt is? The deficit of our Treasury Department? It's trillions of dollars. Well, he's saying here, since you lack wisdom, which means you have a deficit in wisdom. If you lack, you got to acknowledge that. If you say, man, I'm pretty cool. I do all things right. There was a little girl when I was getting my granddaughter's oil change yesterday. She walked in with her mother. Her mother had a snake around her neck. I thought it was fake until I saw the head. It was a boa, the one of those that constricts. And I said, is that live? She said, yeah. I said, has it ever constricted on you? She told me she was a snake trainer. She can train the snakes. Well, that just upset me, and because let me tell you, and I said, what do they eat? Wrong question. She buys boxes of rats, and that's what they eat. That's not what I want. I said that is something because I thought it was cool. But the little girl went into the bathroom, right? They were sitting there, went to the oil get changed. She walked in the bathroom. She comes back out, and I said, does the snake have teeth? The little girl thought I said, I have teeth. And the little girl, she was about 5, she said, can I see them? I said, my teeth? She said, yeah. And so I smile, and she says, cool. I don't even know what that has to do with anything. But you can't even go get your oil change without finding something exciting, right? But I asked, we started talking to the lady about she trained snake. It's like a service dog. It's a pet thing that people that are frustrated or they get irritated. I want to tell you something. If I get nervous and feel with anxiety, don't you bring me a snake. But I guess my whole point was, you didn't think I have one, but I'm getting back to it, is that you might think you're cool. You got it all together. See, the first thing we've got to acknowledge, since we lack wisdom, what are we to do? You lack wisdom and I lack wisdom. What are we to do? Notice he says here, wisdom. That word, Greek word there is Sophia, and it's talking about not just knowledge. It's talking about knowledge applied in a godly, practical way. There's a difference in knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to see things from God's perspective. Now, isn't that cool? We face a lot of things, but to be able to see it from God's perspective is an awesome thing. And then Proverbs, look at that in Proverbs 4, 5, and 7, helps us understand this. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. You know what that passage is saying? Wisdom is supreme. Wisdom in your life, in my life, is supreme. There is no higher. There's nothing that we can chase after more than the wisdom of God. Now, notice, that verse says get wisdom. What do you get from that? Wisdom is attainable. He wouldn't say get wisdom if you couldn't get it. You following me? So don't say wisdom is way out there. I can't. It's far beyond me. Get wisdom. He wouldn't say get it if you couldn't get it. But he also says wisdom does not come naturally. God would not tell us to get something if it was if we naturally had wisdom. He wouldn't say, okay, you got it, just live what you have. So why does God tell us to get wisdom? Because circumstances that we call life demands it. Knowledge, true or false, we have more knowledge today than we've ever had in the history of mankind. I think it's doubling about every 5 years now. Where in the 19th century it was every 100 years, it's doubling. We have a lot of knowledge in this country. We have very little wisdom. Look what's happening. Look at the decisions that are being made. And so he's telling us here that we need something more than what knowledge can provide. In your life, you need more than just the knowing certain things, and experience teaches you certain things. You need the wisdom of God. Have you ever been in situations that you realize book smarts were not enough? That God says, get wisdom? Now, we live in a culture that almost deifies knowledge. I mean, we just promote it. We almost deify education. And there's nothing wrong with getting knowledge. There's nothing wrong with education. I like smart people, especially if they're going to do surgery on me. I'm so thankful that he or she is trained to have knowledge and they know what they're doing. We need knowledge. We need a good education. That's fine. I get that. But knowledge is not the solution to everything in life. While we tout education, we don't think much about wisdom. You cannot dismiss wisdom when you're dealing with your life about things you know and things you're doing. So God says, get wisdom. Now notice, I think it's on your outline, the basic understanding between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Think of knowledge as the accumulation of information. Study? Okay. Think of understanding as, or think of information as understanding that knowledge, and think of wisdom as the application of that knowledge. So knowledge is the accumulation, and understanding is the ability to perceive the facts that you're studying, you're interpreting them, you're making sense of them. But wisdom goes further. It is a divine capacity to apply knowledge and understanding in everyday life. Did you get that definition? It's a divine capacity. If you lack wisdom, who do you ask? Your professor? You ask God. He's the one that has the wisdom and can give that to you. And the application of wisdom is so what we need today. For example, have you ever noticed you can read all the parenting books you want to read, but all that information is kind of useless unless wisdom is applied to it? Have you ever noticed that? And even how to apply it. Have you ever had two children and they're not the same? And you don't discipline the same? They don't react the same? I'm going to tell you something. You got two different kids. You can read that book, but you need wisdom in how to apply that which is in that book. You can read all the self-help books about improving your marriage, but if you don't have wisdom, I mean, I've done counseling with couples and give assignments, and they come back in with all the knowledge there. They did everything I asked them to do, except ask God for wisdom to apply it. You can know something and not do it. You agree with that? I mean, I know how to be a wonderful, I mean absolutely wonderful husband. Am I always a wonderful husband? That would have been a great time to say, we think you are. See, I can have the knowledge. I've got more books on marriage and premarital marriage, counseling and everything else. But if you got them before you and they're having problems, that knowledge in and of itself is not going to make that a strong marriage or a strong relationship. The Bible says much knowledge can puff up. And that knowledge can be used as a weapon to defend each other and try to secure your grounds and make your points. And you can even say it with knowledge. I hope we're getting this. Wisdom is asking God to take the knowledge of what your Bible says about how to be a good parent, how to love my husband, how to love my wife, how to be a good worker, how to control my finances, and how to budget, and all the stuff like that. But you must apply it. And that's what he's telling us in these verses. So wisdom supreme. And God says, get it. I want you to leave today and say, I don't think that was all that important today. Vastly important. When you're facing a crisis, you need the wisdom of God. When you're facing impacting decisions, life-changing decisions, don't you think you need the wisdom of God? When you're having questions and fears, you need the wisdom of God. That's why wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Now, by the way, there is a difference between worldly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. Vast difference. James is going to talk about that a little more in chapter 3, but worldly wisdom is basically, watch me, the accumulation of knowledge and experience. You gain knowledge and experience that gives you how to live life and do things in life. You agree with that? You have the knowledge. Your parents teach you. You grow up in that. You experience things, good or bad. You put those together. That is what you could call a worldly wisdom from that side. But, and I want to be clear about this. Worldly wisdom is basically the accumulation of knowledge gained through experience. That's not to say that only Christians have wisdom. However, only Christians can have wisdom from above. Got it? So there's an earthly wisdom. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. We see the wisdom of this world often stops at cleverness. You can have business people. You can be very successful in your life and at your job and all that stuff. And that can be done in those areas. It can help you. Worldly wisdom can help you navigate the marketplace. It can help you with things in life. The difference is not merely intellectual. It's spiritual. Godly wisdom shapes our heart. It shapes our lives, our motives. It aligns our actions with what God says we're to be in those things of wisdom. And it points toward the true essence of insight. That's a supernatural thing. That's a thing that God gives us. This is why when we find ourselves at a crossroad, whether in a relationship, whether at work, should I change jobs, what should I do, in personal growth, we cannot rely solely on accumulated knowledge and experience. If that's all you rely upon, you're not having the wisdom that is from above. See, this kind of wisdom that God's talking about here descends from above. It's the kind of wisdom that doesn't bring chaos but peace. You know, I've had some major decisions to make in my life, and I knew I wasn't capable of making them on my own. And so I say, God, you said if I lack wisdom, ask of you. I need your wisdom. Now understand, when you say that, how does that come about? We'll probably discuss some of this Wednesday. But that comes about through the study of God's Word. That comes about through godly counsel. That comes about that. But God, I need your wisdom. Show me. Help me to understand these things. And that's why, no matter what you face, that this wisdom doesn't originate with us. The wisdom God's talking about, it is a gift. You see it as a gift to all who seek it sincerely and humbly. Do you believe this scripture? If you lack wisdom, ask of God. Do you believe that scripture? Well, since you lack wisdom, what are you to do? Sound went out. Ask of God. It's not complicated, is it? It's not like, oh man, I don't understand all that. So there's a certain measure of wisdom that people who don't know the Lord can have, but wisdom is basically based on what they've developed through experience and through knowledge in life experiences. So how do we get wisdom? Good question, right? Look at verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given him. You ask God for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask of God. Ask of God. Now you say, well, I did that one time. I asked of God and I didn't really sense any kind of wisdom or leading. That asking is in the imperative in the Greek, which simply means continue to ask. It doesn't mean ask one time and forget it. It means I continuously ask God. Keep on asking God. This means that your prayer for wisdom is to be constant and continual. Keep on asking God. God, I need wisdom. Is it wrong that you need wisdom for a certain situation? You've got your knowledge. You've got your experience. Now you want God's wisdom to apply practically God's way of dealing with it. Then ask God. And if it's not, God, I need your wisdom. I'm not sensing. I need your wisdom in how to deal with this situation. Listen to Proverbs 2:2-4. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. My grandpa used to, he was hard of hearing. Any of you have a grandpa like this? And he'd go, eh? Any of you have a grandpa? It's rained a lot lately, hasn't it? Some of you are waterlogged. So, make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek, that's continuously, if you seek wisdom like you search for hidden treasure, are you searching for wisdom like you would hidden treasure? Where you're turning it over, you're looking at it, and God, give me wisdom in this. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. Who gives wisdom? The Lord gives wisdom. So we ask of God. This passage makes it clear that God's wisdom is not something we just sit around and sing kumbaya waiting for it. This means you seek it. What did Jesus say? Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. You seek these things. Now, the exciting thing to me is the promise. Look at the promise. He gives to all. If any of you lack wisdom, let ask of God who gives to all. Gives to all. Who is all? You and me, is it pastors? Is it political leaders? Is it people that need all this knowledge? He gives this to all. It's not just for a select few. He gives it to all. I like that because I need wisdom. And with the decisions you make in life as a husband or wife and a pastor or teacher or whatever vocation you may have, child rearing, all that, boy, think about all the things that you need to make decisions on a daily basis. I hope after this you don't see it's on your own. He promised. He gives to all. Okay, you say, well, I know he gives to all, but I've asked this for four times. God is just about fed up with me. I asked God the other day for wisdom, and he rolled his eyes at me. He said, aren't you ever going to get it? How many times do I have to tell you? If you're a loving parent, and your children will ask you things over and over and over again. Do you tell little Tommy, I'm tired of answering you? No, you might. I'm tired of answering you. I've told you that 10 times. I love this verse because he gives to all without reproach. Circle that, without reproach. In other words, he doesn't shame us for asking. He doesn't say, I'm tired of you asking. He welcomes that in our lives. He says, I delight in you asking. Lock that in. Don't say, I was asking for wisdom yesterday, and I'm sure God... No, he loves that. He will not say, quit asking me. It's without reproach. It's without shame. He won't shame you when you ask, keep on asking. And when he says, keep on asking, look at the last part of that. It will be given to him. Do you believe that part of the verse? We just dissected a verse here. If, since you are bankrupt in some of your aspects of wisdom, then what you do is don't go and Google it out of the chute, but you ask God, and you continuously ask him. Why? He will give it to you liberally. He will not shame you, and it will be given to you. What a wonderful thing. In other words, don't say, Lord, I need wisdom. I got this decision I've got to make, and I need your wisdom, so give me wisdom, but I probably won't get it. You ever prayed something like that? Say, you know, I prayed that, but I didn't. I probably won't get it. Don't do that. You say, well, what should I do? Just say, thank you, Lord. I'm trusting you. I'm going to give my life to you, and I'm asking you to give me wisdom. I'm trusting in you. My trust is based on you. My trust is based on your word. You're faithful to your word. You said you would give me wisdom generously. I'm asking for wisdom. And just keep asking. And say, thank you for the wisdom that I need today. Thank you. That's what he's saying here. Pray and don't doubt. Don't doubt. That word doubt means divided soul. It means you're on a ship with two captains. And this one wants to go this way, and this one wants to go this way. It's being double-minded. Don't do that. It's one that's described in mind that wavers between two opinions. Oh, God, I believe you will. No, God, I don't believe you will. God, I thank you. I don't thank you. So you're back and forth. And he uses a term here like a wave of the sea. You're out in a boat and your motor tears up and you've lost your anchor. You're at the mercy of what? The wind. I've been there. It's like, oh, I'm fishing and anchor got hung upon a rock, and because I'm so strong, I broke the anchor rope. Y'all couldn't do it. Broke it. So now, I said, I better go in because I had caught, oh my goodness, caboodles of fish. When I go fishing, I catch. And I said, well, I better go in because I was 10 miles from the Steinhatchee. Cranked that baby up, never failed me. I gone all day. Went about 20 feet and choked down. I'm at the mercy of the wind and the tide. And because I'm so lucky, the tide was going out. I was 3 weeks from Cuba. And I didn't know what to do. Thank goodness I was by myself, because if I said, well, I'm going, I'm, at least I don't have my grandkids and Nancy. But a boat finally came by, and I'm waving. And they came over and said, is everything okay? I said, no, I'm stranded. And they pulled me in. But you ever thought about what would have happened? Y'all, I might even not been your pastor. I could have been lost at sea, starved. No, I carry enough food when I fish. I can live for months. But they pulled me in. But I had no power in what direction. I wanted to go to Steinhatchee. I was going, the wind, the tide was taking me away. James is saying, if that's your attitude, if you're saying you're double-minded, you're of a split mind, you're here and then you're here and you're here and then you're here, he says, that's doubt. And don't you think that you will receive anything from the Lord? And such an attitude he gives here, I think, is beautiful. As the wave of the sea, completely lacking stability. See, what happens, we're blown by our culture. Culture says, okay, this is what we'll do, this is what we'll do, and then culture goes over here. Have you ever noticed culture shifts? It changes? And you will be in that change because you don't have the wisdom of God to make the right decisions in your life in the 2025, because things are a-changing. And the only solid rock you can have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says here, you're unstable in, he's unstable in all his ways, not just prayer. I want to tell you something. A double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. That includes relationships. Well, I think I ought to do this. I think I ought to do that. Double-minded. Not only relate, but decisions. Have you ever wanted to make a decision and you said, well, do I need to do this? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do this? Guys, have you ever asked your wife where she wants to eat? We need to stop asking that question. We're the men of the house. No woman going to tell us why. Did you see me get on to Mary Beth when she tried to correct me? We go all these areas. We've got to say, you know what? If you're stable, if you're asking God for wisdom, then you're able to make the directions. Some of you have had 94 jobs in 3 days because you're just bouncing around. No, God, I want you. I know you know what's best for me. I want you to show me. I want you to lead me. I want you to direct me. Sometimes he does it through his word. Sometimes he does it through other people. I've had other people speak truth in my life with the direction I had to make. When they talked to me, I knew that was the right decision. Godly counsel. And so, if you're in a trial, are you seeking escape or wisdom? Remember, the context is surround trial. Do you believe that God delights in guiding you? Do you believe God delights in guiding you? How are you approaching God? How do you approach Him? How are you handling your trials? I want you to leave today encouraged, because God gives His resources to how to live life. You're not on your own. And you can have joy even as you travel this journey of life with all of its ups and downs. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and concern for us. Thank you, thank you. Thank you that you care enough for us, that you give us the resources to face life with all of its challenges. And not only that, but you tell us that we're more than conquerors through you. Help us to trust you. Help us to trust not in our own understanding, but acknowledge you in all of our ways. And you said you would direct our paths. Father, thank you for this powerful reminder that wisdom is not some distant or unattainable virtue reserved for a select few, but you invite all of us to seek it, assuring us that you delight in giving us this wisdom when we approach you in faith, not doubting. When challenges come, when trials threaten to overwhelm us, it's not just strength or cleverness we need. We need a deeper insight that only your wisdom can give. So, Father, I recognize this. And therefore, we ought to shift our focus from merely seeking relief from difficulty to seeking the wisdom necessary to navigate it. Thank you that wisdom is not just some abstract ideal. It is a practical, daily necessity, especially as we understand God, your generosity means that wisdom is not rationed a little bit at a time or withheld, but you give it in abundance if we will simply, earnestly, and confidently ask. Father, I thank you that I don't have to pretend I have all the answers. I don't have to muddle through life with my own wisdom that I've gained through knowledge and experience. But it's about coming humbly before you, acknowledging our need, and trusting that you will provide direction and clarity when we need it most. As we ask these things, we do it with expectancy, believing that you truly promised you were not playing a game with us, and that you will supply wisdom very generously. I ask this for my life, and I ask it on behalf of these dear people you've given me to pastor. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.